could die my soul to save. Only one, the name above all.
Washed clean and made pure was enough, but he's more. All right. I want to first thank everybody. Is this thing on? All right. I want to thank everybody that goes to this church whenever me and my wife first come here. I was amazed. I said, weighed 145 pounds. Everybody treated us with love and kind. I talked to the preacher about a lot of stuff, Brother Boyd. And I talked to my dad a lot, too. And when you go to different preachers and they all line up with the same thing, you know you're right. My wife and kids didn't understand. And I just want to thank God for sending us here through all of the affliction. And preacher last week preached on stuff, and I was like, man, and then the preacher preached this morning, and I was like, man, I got to change stuff I'm planning on preaching about, but I'm not going to. But I just want to thank everybody, because when I first started, I wasn't going to do nothing in the church. And there was one woman, she was a thorn in my side from the beginning. And I'm not going to mention her name. Everybody probably knows who it is. But Nancy Dorsey. But I love her, and I thank her for staying with me, staying on me. But and I want to apologize to the church, too. There's a lot of times I come in here, and I didn't have the right spirit, and I'm sorry. But, before I start, I'd like to ask Brother Teddy if he'd lead us in prayer, please. I'm going to go to the book of Job. Everybody's familiar with the book of Job. In the beginning, Job and God and Satan had a little thing going on. And God told Satan he could have everything that Job had, but he couldn't take his life. So he'd give everything over. And we'll start from there. Job's friends. First of all, Job, he lost 7,000 sheep. And we don't think much of sheep, but sheep is what clothed them people. They used wool to make clothes and sacrifices. They had to sacrifice. They had, And Job had a lot of workers that worked for him, servants. So you can just imagine, because he had a lot of goings on. He was a merchant. He had 3,000 camels. Now back then, a camel was your tractor and trailer. So I'd say he had 300 Kenworths. We'll just say. And he had 500 yoke of oxen. So my way of looking at it, that said, he had 570 horsepower Massey Ferguson tractor sitting there. He had 500 she-asses. And if anybody knows anything about asses, they are very sure-footed animals. They can haul more than a horse. They can climb up mountains. And I believe Job had the best, and that was he had 500 three-quarter-ton Chevy trucks sitting there waiting to haul. And if that wasn't bad enough, he had 7 sons and 3 daughters. That right there would be enough to put a man under right there.
Yeah.
But and that wasn't only enough. His wife. Right there in chapter 2, verse 9, we'll read that. Then said his wife unto him, after all the affliction come upon him, Does thou still remain with thy integrity? Curse God and die. And if you go back, that's exactly what Satan wanted him to do. So Satan had control of his wife, even. He was, I believe that he had a part in that, even his friends. Eliphaz in chapter 4, verse 7 through 8, claimed that all that was happening to him was because of his sin. Chapter 15, verses 2 through 5, he calls Job a liar for all of it. Because Job is, he's denying everything. Did Job have sin? Yes, he did. I'm not. He wasn't a perfect man, but he believed he had a redeemer. Chapter 22, verse 6 through 9, said he stole from the poor and didn't feed the hungry and was mean to all the widows and the fatherless. And if you read, and I don't know if any of y'all ever read through the book of Job, when he come to town, all the nobles hid whenever he come to town because he passed out food or money, food, and all of these people. And if you read back, they all ended up cursing him, spitting on him, all of it. Used his name as a byword. Bildad, chapter 8, he calls Job a liar. And chapter 8, verse 4, I'm going to read that. Chapter 8, verse 4, it says, if thy children have sinned against him, and he have cast them away for the transgression. So he brings up his dead kids to him, even that. And Job even sacrificed for his kids in case they cursed God in their hearts. Then in chapter 8, verse 20, tells Job he is suffering for his sins. And Zophar in chapter 11, he calls Job a liar too. And in chapter 11, verse 4 through 6, he tells Job he is suffering for his sins. And I'll read that too. And he's getting less than he deserves. And I'm like, man. Anyway, I'm getting somewhere with this. Chapter 11, verse 4 through 6 there. He says, for thou hast said, my doctrine is pure, and I am clean in thine eyes. But oh, that God would speak and open his lips again thee, and that he would show thee that secrets of wisdom, that they are double to that which is. Now, therefore, that God exacteth all of his less than thine iniquity deserveth. And that's pretty
hateful and mean. Preacher kind of got on to me there whenever we was working about being a little bit harsh. I said something about a man I shouldn't have. But in 11, chapter 11, 13 through 14, Zophar tells Job to repent and turn back to God. And a lot of they all told him to repent and turn back to God. And I know Job probably went through his whole life trying to figure out what was wrong. And like the preacher said this morning, other than my family, there's one man that knows me better than anybody else, probably just about as good as my family. And he knows if there was a law to break, I was going to break it. And there wasn't nobody going to tell me what to do or how to run coal or how to do it, because I knew how to do it and the fastest way to do it. And so I did have a lot of pride, especially when I worked and anything that I've done. Pride's all right, but you can go a little too far with it. And sometimes the Lord tells you, you're my child, and you're not going to act like it.
Right. That's right.
And I thank Him for it.
Yes. Yes,
but Job, he was. If you really read it, he was one time this way and one time another. He, in chapter 7, verse 12 through 21, I'll read that. He pours contempt upon princes. I think it's in, let me make sure that's right. Chapter 7, verse 12. He says, am I a seer of well that thou hast, because if you watch Job, he'll start out answering, but he ends up talking to God. He starts out, and then he ends up talking to God. And he's talking to God here. He said, am I a seer of well that thou settest a watch over me? When I say my bed shall comfort me, and my couch shall ease my complaint. Then thou scarest me with dreams and terrifies me through visions. He couldn't even sleep. The devil was getting into his sleep life. And he says, so that my soul chews the strangling and death rather than my life. I loathe that I would not live away, alway. Let me alone, for my days are vanity. What is man that thou shouldest magnify him, and thou shouldest set thine heart upon him, and that thou shouldest visit him every morning and try him every moment? How long wilt thou not depart from me? So here he is. He's wanting him to depart from him. He's about sick of it. Let me alone till I swallow down my spittle. I have sinned. What shall I do unto thee, O thou preserver of men? Why hast thou set me as a mark against thee, so that I am a burden to myself? And why dost thou not pardon my transgressions and take away mine iniquity? For now shall I sleep in the dust, and thou shalt seek me in the morning, but I shall not be. And then he goes to find out, and then you go on to over to chapter 23. He's looking for God then, and can't find Him. And let me tell you, I've been there. I don't care if I ever go back. Chapter 23, he says, behold, I go forward, but I cannot find Him. But He is not there. And backwards, but I cannot perceive Him. On the left hand where He doth work, but I cannot behold Him. He hideth Himself on the right hand that I cannot see Him. But He knoweth the way that I take. When He hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. My foot hath held His steps. His way have I kept and not declined. So even though he couldn't find Him, he knew that his Redeemer liveth. And let's see, 34. Chapter 34. And when he hideth his face, who then can behold him? Whether it be done against a nation or against a man only. And that's another. He was hiding his. Elihu was talking there. And Elihu, he was the young man. He pretty much had. He was about the smartest one of them all when it come right down to it. And if you go to chapter 5, verse 17 and 18, this right here is some of the best verses in Job. It says, "Behold, happy is a man whose God correcteth, therefore desirest not thou the chastening of the Almighty. For he maketh sore and bindeth up the wound. He bindeth up. He woundeth, and his hands make whole." And then in Proverbs, I'm going to turn over to Proverbs chapter 3, verse 12. Chapter 3, verse 11. "My son, despiseth not the chastening of the Lord, neither be weary of his correction. For whom the Lord loveth, he correcteth, even as a father the son in whom he delighteth."
Yeah. Amen.
I want to thank the Lord for all the whippings he's given me, you know, because I wouldn't be right up here right now if he hadn't. And I know there is a lot of things going on in the church, people sick. And I know a lot of times we probably do. And I'm just going to tell you, a lot of times, looking at Job's friends, how many times I've been a friend, more times than I've been a Job. You look at people and you say, well, they got much coming to them. Yeah. Now, they made their bed, now they can lay in it. And I ask God to forgive me for that, because I should be praying for them instead of down.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
And not all affliction is brought because of somebody's sin.
Right.
There's a lot of times God gives people cancer in their families, heart attacks, strokes, because there's unsaved people watching them in their family. And if they just wake up and acknowledge that that's what's going on, that God's trying to get their attention.
Yeah.
And I have brothers and sisters. And I got a lot of friends that are not where they ought to be in church. Some of them's lost. And there's many nights that I said, "Lord, take it away."
Yeah.
And I said, "I can't." Because if it means that one of them would accept Jesus as their Savior,
right, or
one of them would come back to the Lord,
yeah,
then I'll take the affliction.
Yeah, sure.
And you wonder how many times the people are laying in hospital beds that they're praying the same prayer. They ain't telling nobody.
That's right.
They're laying there dying with cancer. They're dying of heart disease or something. And they say, "God, whatever it takes."
Right. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Good.
In Job chapter 19, got a few more things here before I give it over to the preacher. That again, for I know chapter 19:23. I like this part in Job. It says, "Oh, that my words were now written. Oh, that they were penned in a book. That they were graven with an iron pen and laid in the rock forever." Job got it done. The Holy Spirit wrote it there. And he says, for I know my Redeemer liveth. That he shall stand at the latter day upon earth. And though after my skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh I shall see God, whom I shall see for myself, and my eyes shall behold, and not another. Do you have a Redeemer? Chapter 38. This is where Jesus shows up. I can't. When I read the Bible, I almost visualize Job. Can't hardly stand, skin and bones. He's done turned black, sores all over him. He said all this, and it says, the Lord answered Job out of the whirlwind and said, I can almost see Job. He's seen his Redeemer. He heard him. There's my Jesus. He's coming to get me. I'm going home. Getting out of this. Then that wasn't what happened. He didn't get what he thought. That's my thought of it. That's what I would say. Yeah, Lord, here I am. I'm ready. No, Job probably thought he was going to get pampered, but he didn't. Gird yourself up like a man, mister.
That's right.
Yeah. It's time to be a man. And if you read on, at the end of the book, Job still had all the problems that he had until he prayed for his friends. And then, God, he blessed him. Twice as much as he had before.
Yes, sir.
Now, when I come to talk to the preacher there, it's been a long time ago. I told him, I said, well, the Lord called me to preach. Man, I'm telling you what, I'd sit in service after service, and it didn't matter what somebody preached, it was, you're going to have to step up, buddy. You done said you was, now it's time to step up. Brother Pat Paul Boyd, man, whenever he preaches, he'd beat the hide plumb off of me. I'd sit back there and just sweat. So finally, I told the preacher, which my prideful way was, I'll do it my way, and this is the way it's going to be, and I'll just, you know. So finally, I told Stephanie, I said, I'm going to have to tell the preacher. I'm just going to have to tell him I'm going to need help. I'm not a man to ask for help for nothing. I don't need help.
Yeah. There you go.
He said, yeah. He stopped and talked to me and my wife and talked to us for a good while. And he told me, he said, buddy, if you can do anything else, run. I said, I can't. And he told me again, he said, if you can do anything else, go. I said, I can't. He said, all right. He said, I'll back you 150%. And I want to thank you. I want to thank my dad. He's been a lot of it too. Brother Boyd, Brother Rick, I love each and every one of you.
Yes.
If you're here and you're not saved, I ask you, do you need a Redeemer?
Yes.
The trumpet is going to sound soon.
Yes.
Not everybody's going to hear that trumpet because there's going to be a lot of people who don't even know what in the world happened.
Yes.
Are you going to hear the trumpet or are you not? Brother Mark.
I'm glad I have a Redeemer.
Yes, amen. Yeah.
I'm glad he chooses me to do things for him. If you're glad he chooses you to do things for him, I'm glad for that.
Amen.
Oh, we thank the Lord. Let's stand together. Let's go to the
piano.
I don't know how God speaks to you or how he draws you or moves upon you. Give you an opportunity tonight to move a little more to speak to your heart.
So just want to encourage you.